So part of the reason that I chose habits for January is because a lot of us are thinking about, well, maybe not a lot of us, but sometimes in our culture, we think about New Year's resolutions. We start out January, we think 2026 is going to be the year that I start working out. And we do it for like 3 weeks before we quit. But I wondered if, since our culture is kind of thinking about forming new habits, we might think about this in a spiritual sense. And that maybe our habits wouldn't be big, grand ideas, but they'd be small things that we'd incorporate into our life that would have a transforming effect on us. So habits that lead to the heart of God. This summer, my friend Jim, who I meet with weekly, he said that I could have one of his monarch caterpillars. Have you seen a monarch caterpillar? Well, if you haven't, there's one on the screen, and there's also one over here. Terry put this up for me, especially this morning, so we could take a look at it. It's the yellow, black and white caterpillar there on the stalk, a monarch caterpillar. So Jim said that I could have one, and so I went to his house, and I took this caterpillar on a piece of milkweed. That's what, well, that stem is probably not milkweed, but they eat milkweed, okay? And I took it home, I put it in a jar, and it ate milkweed, and then it turned into this little green cocoon thing there. 10 days in that. I even took it to the Sleeping Giant camping because I had to watch this thing so that when it hatched, I could let it out of the jar. Well, 10 days in that cocoon, it finally turned into a butterfly. That's quite a change, isn't it? From a caterpillar to a butterfly. We're called Transformation Church. Transformation happened in the life of the caterpillar. Do you think that can happen inside of us? Well, according to Paul in the scriptures, it is possible. The word for this in the life of the caterpillar is called metamorphosis. So we're going to read a passage from Romans right now. Romans chapter 12, 1, verses 1 and 2. And if you've got a Bible you can follow, I'm reading out of the NLT. It'll also be on the screen. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We're thinking of the life of the caterpillar going to the butterfly. We're thinking of what Paul has told us here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he says to be transformed. The Greek for that is metamorpho. Yes, you guessed it. Coming from the same idea as metamorphosis. So when you think about us being transformed, that is actually, we can actually think about going from caterpillar to butterfly. Have you seen that in your life? Do you think it's possible in your life? So Paul would start out telling us in Romans 12, he would command us, he would urge us. He would say to give all of yourself, your whole body, to God because of everything that he has done for us. He would say, because of God's mercies, you do this. Paul is referring back Romans chapter 1 all the way through 11. And if you were to go read chapters 1 through 11, you would see mercy after mercy after mercy that God has shown the people in Romans, which, by the way, translates to us too. Mercy upon mercy upon mercy. And because of that mercy, you give all of yourself to God. You surrender yourself up. You hand yourself over. Every part of you, your body, your mind, your heart, and your soul. When you do that, when you surrender yourself, let your surrender of yourself be a living sacrifice to God. Living sacrifice, that's maybe not a word that we're used to, a sacrifice. But you see, the people that Paul was talking to, they were very used to this idea of sacrifice. To be religious, And to follow God was to sacrifice. Everybody sacrificed. You were always giving an animal or a food offering as a sacrifice to the deity, to God. But Paul is saying here, no longer the animal sacrifice, the food sacrifice, you as a sacrifice. No longer a sacrifice that dies, but you as a living sacrifice, alive. Almost like sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, your whole being offered up to God in a way that is pleasing to God. You remember whoever was with us when we studied Ephesians. In Ephesians 5, what did we learn there at the beginning? We are to imitate Christ, and Christ offered himself up to God as what? A living, as a sacrifice, an aroma pleasing to God. It's like our lives are meant to be these things that are beautiful, that people see them and there's beauty there, that God sees it, and it's a beautiful sacrifice offered up to God. It's living. So the last half of that verse is that you would present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Holy and acceptable. Can your life offered up be holy? Take a look at your life for a minute. Can it be holy? What does holy mean? It means consecrated, set apart. It means kind of like God, this beautiful thing. How can our lives be holy? How can our offering up to God be something that's holy? Morally pure, clean. Well, first of all, it starts with this, is that when you and I say yes to God, when we say, I believe in you, Lord, and I'm surrendering of myself to you, God's holiness is given to us. God's holiness. We are made pure and right and clean and whole. And when that happens, this new life given to us, we become people who become people who live in clean ways. Like God, we become holy. So because of God, we now can live a holy life. I think of it a little bit like this. It's like our lives are like the solar panel on the roof. What does the solar panel do? It just sits there wide open to the sun and just soaks in the sun. S-U-N or S-O-N. Your life is the solar panel soaking in the sun. And as you soak in the holiness of the Son, Jesus Christ, your life now becomes a holy offering to God. An entirely new person, a new nature. The last part of this verse says, when we do this, this is truly the way we worship God. You see, sometimes maybe we think we come here on Sunday morning and we're gonna praise, we're gonna sing to God, we're gonna be with Justin as he plays the guitar, and that is worship, we think. But worship isn't that. It includes that. Worship is every single part of our lives, our going to work, our going home. That is worship when it is done out of praise and honor and worship to God. You see, I just used the word worship in my very description. It's like our whole life offered up is that worship. So, this is truly the way we worship God. But Paul would continue in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world or this age. Now you'll see if you were following along in the NLT, I switched words here. This is the NIV. Do not be conformed. Do not be shaped by the customs and patterns of this world. Don't copy them. You think about that monarch caterpillar for a minute. The caterpillar, before it becomes a butterfly, and not to insult anyone today, but imagine yourself as a caterpillar. Imagine us as a room full of caterpillars. Black and white and yellow. But I get you to take this a little step farther. Imagine the entire planet, every person, so to speak, as a caterpillar. Now, every human is made in the image of God, but for my analogy, just track with me for a second. If we are sort of caterpillars, you might say, don't you think it makes sense that we're going to act and think and talk like a caterpillar? Lots of caterpillar talk and caterpillar actions. But see, the thing is that Jesus has something different in mind. He intends to take a whole bunch of caterpillars and turn them into butterflies. See, it says it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Actually, I can't quote it here because it's not written. But he says, the one who comes to me, I will make into a brand new person. The old is gone. The caterpillar is dead. The caterpillar has changed into a butterfly. So the offer from Jesus is this, that we can be transformed from the caterpillar into a butterfly, to someone who thinks like Jesus, who acts like Jesus, who talks like Jesus. So Paul would say, don't be conformed to the caterpillar world. Because that's not the world you belong to anymore. When you give your life to Jesus, you belong now to the butterfly world. So think and act and speak and talk like a butterfly, like Jesus. Think and act and speak and talk like Jesus. So Paul would say, don't be conformed. You know why he says that? Because it's so easy to be conformed. It's so easy as we live in the caterpillar world to keep acting and thinking and talking like a caterpillar, even though God has said, I am taking you and making you into a butterfly. So, how do we not be conformed to this world? How do we not copy it? John, in 1 John, gets quite blunt with this. He says, this world, when you love this caterpillar world and its ways, you don't have the love of the Father in you. This world that offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, that is the lust of the eyes, it offers only pride in our achievements and possessions. And these things, they're not from the Father, but they are from the world. And the world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. So you could think of your life like this. I'm going to put a diagram up on the screen. You could think of your life like this diagram. You have your practices or your habits that are part of your life. They shape you. You have your relationships, and you have the stories that you believe. Underneath the diagram, you have life that happens to you, things that you do and things that happen to you. You have time. All of those things add up to shape you into the person that you will be, and as a matter of fact, the person that you are today. So we'll start with maybe the top one here. The stories. There's a lot of storytellers out there, aren't there? A lot of people telling their stories about how life works and why it works and what's the purpose of it. Let me give you an example. I grew up in a fairly closed community, and in that community, although it was religious, we did things that were not good at all. At times when someone made a mistake in the community or the leader thought that this person made a mistake, the whole community would send that person away and would shun them for year after year after year, up to 20 years. I was part of that. I did that. Why? Because the stories that I believed said that in order to follow God, you should do that. I didn't even realize that what I was doing was wrong because a story had shaped me. I had believed something that wasn't true. There are stories that are shaping you. You know, maybe a story in our culture today, a story might be, you know what? Sleeping together before marriage isn't really that big of a deal. Our culture, Our culture is shaping us. It is even shaping us as Christians. We will be perhaps a little less concerned about the importance of sexual purity outside of marriage. Why? Because our culture says it's not that important. You might believe, for example, that money, lots of money, equals more happiness. And so, without even thinking, we are being formed by our culture. And the follower of Jesus is not exempt from this process. All of us are being shaped by the stories that we believe. And what we believe will turn us into people that take action. So if I believe that money will make me happy, then I'm likely going to become greedy and envious, maybe discontent or dissatisfied. But you see, that's the world and its system. And I'm following down the track of the world and its system. It's the caterpillar life. But you don't belong. We don't belong to that world anymore. So the stories we believe form us. So do the relationships that we have. I had a friend who would always tell me, "Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future." Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Or another way of putting it is, the company we keep keeps us. So here's what I mean. I mean, the people you hang out with, you probably talk like your friends. You probably dress like your friends. You probably spend money like your friends. You probably live like your friends. What I'm not saying is don't hang out with people who aren't Christians. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying think about the relationships in your life. You are being formed by the relationships in your life. So we're formed by the stories we believe, by the relationships, and by the practices or the habits in our lives. These are the things we don't even think about. You know, the simple decision to watch Netflix tonight is a decision that is shaping me. Not necessarily a wrong decision, but it is a decision. Reaching for our phone to pick it up, it is a decision. A decision to scroll, it is a decision. And I'm saying, not necessarily a bad one, but it is a decision. It is a habit that is forming us. And over time, between these stories, these relationships, and these habits, we become someone. We are someone because of these things. So the minute you open your eyes this morning, you continue to be formed into the person that you are and the person that you will become. Paul would say it this way, do not be conformed to this world. It's present passive here. It's imperative. It would say, do not keep on being conformed, but keep on being transformed. This isn't something you did when you came to know Jesus. This is something that you and I do every moment of every single day. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. So, the question we could ask ourselves is, are we becoming just like Canadians? Are we becoming just like people of Thunder Bay? Or are we becoming people of the kingdom of heaven? Are we becoming people of love? What kind of person are you becoming? Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I have another diagram which we'll put up here. And this is just a way to think about our lives. But again, there's that same diagram. But this is now the follower of Jesus who's taking intentional steps to follow God. In the middle of the triangle, you have the Holy Spirit. Can you see that okay? A little bit fuzzy, isn't it? In the middle of the triangle is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now shapes every part of us. He's the agent at work inside of us, changing us. But nonetheless, we would do well to think about the things around our lives that are shaping us. So we have those habits or those practices. We have the community or the relationships around us. And we have the teachings, the stories that shape what we believe and think. So let's start off with community. So this community is the place where we become more like Jesus. This place where we invest in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because I can tell you your future by your friends. How many disciples did Jesus pick? One? No, a community. 12 disciples that followed Jesus and learned to do this together. We do it in community. I don't have time to give justice to all three of these things, but we'll go look at our second one. We also look at our habits, these practices that form us. The thing that we do first thing in the morning, I touched on that a little bit last week, where maybe we just automatically pick up that phone. Maybe the simple way to think about it for today, without diving into naming habits, is this. The world is pressing on us every minute of every single day. Something's calling your name every second. What are you listening to? What are you doing? And perhaps the habits we can look at forming would be things like, you know what? I must get up this morning to go to my secret place to meet with God. I must join a life group to be in community, to be changed into Christ's image. Perhaps that's why we say, I am fasting today. I am giving up some food today because I am saying, I'm resisting being conformed to this world, but I am being transformed into the image of Jesus. Because the world is pressing on and it is not going to quit. Perhaps we just intentionally, thoughtfully, and carefully think about adding small things to our life that remind us that we belong to the kingdom of heaven. This isn't pulling up our bootstraps and trying harder to be more Christian. This is simply almost taking a 10,000-foot view at my life and saying, what am I doing and why am I doing it? Because there is no neutral ground. We are being formed into someone. Who are we being formed into? It is us just simply saying, God, I value you and your kingdom more than anything else in my life. I will stop anything. I will do anything to become made like Jesus. So finally, the third one on that triangle is that we counter the stories that we believe. Because as I said, the stories are coming to you left, right, and center. As you drive down Thunder Bay past all the billboards, as you open up your phone and look at the news, as you talk to your coworkers, stories are forming in your mind. What story will you believe? And so as followers of Jesus, we think about what we're believing. We read scripture. We memorize. We study the Bible. We are taught by the teacher himself, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that caterpillar I got you to imagine yourself as there? What do those caterpillars do? In order to be transformed into a butterfly, what do? They crawl on that milkweed and they eat, 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 eat. You might think about us like that caterpillar on that milkweed. What must we do? Eat, 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 eat. Not food. God's word. Hunger and thirst for the real, the true, the good. We open up our Bible and we come to this desperately hungry to know what this new kingdom is coming so that we can be changed. I shared with you last week this opportunity that each of us can have to think about prayer in a way of meeting with God daily. contemplating, thinking about his love, imagining ourselves there at the table with Jesus and him looking at us in love. But you see, if we only, you might say, rise and sit and try to meet God through prayer, which I highly recommend, if we only do that, we may perhaps at times get a little bit confused. Have you found that your mind has a lot of things to tell you? How do you determine what is right and good and true? God gave us his word, his scripture. And in that scripture, we find the real story, the true story. So as part of my practice, when I rise in the morning, yes, my hands are open to God. I'm sitting there asking God to speak to my heart, contemplating his love. Because what we think about God, how he views us, it has major implications on our life. So dwelling on his love is the most wonderful thing to do. But also, I open up my Bible and I turn myself to that, reading, memorizing, thinking. My encouragement is this in 2026, don't try harder to be a better Christian. Meditate on God's love, open up his word and learn it, memorize it, think about it. The world is pressing on you. It is teaching you stories to believe, but there are better stories. There are true stories in God's word. Will you believe them? But no, you won't if you never read them. You will be turned into the person who believes the stories, whatever story you are taking in. I'll tell you, turning to scripture for me in my life has been transformative. I know that the scriptures can be very difficult to understand at times, and I know that sometimes we easily give up because it's an ancient text. This book is thousands of years old, and there are stories in there that bother us and make us struggle. But I tell you, the amount of, or the number of ways in which God has whispered things to me through his word. Maybe I have a suggestion. Don't read the Bible just for knowledge. Read the Bible to encounter God, because God gave this to us so that that would happen for us. Perhaps underline those verses that stand out to you. Perhaps as you go through, memorize little bits so that in your day as you go through it, you can repeat to yourself in the moment of temptation or struggle a verse that means something to you. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, now you're believing the story that's real, not the story that's fake or that is a lie. I find that the Bible has lots of parts of it that are not very easy to understand. But I will say this, the Bible has a lot to say that is easy to understand. I've been memorizing or rememorizing Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew chapter 7, I'm so challenged by Jesus talking about anxiety. And there he makes this case that the Heavenly Father cares so deeply for people like you and me. You see, in my life, the truth of God's word is speaking against what seems so true in my own life. And so I sit there, and tears come down my face as I realize there's a God who cares and loves for Jeremy. What lie are you tempted to believe? What in God's word will give you strength and courage and hope to overcome? And so we learn Jesus' teachings. We study, we memorize. And maybe my encouragement is this. You just carve a couple of minutes, a couple. Maybe start with something small that's easy. First thing in the morning, if that works for you. Maybe even driving in your car, turn on that audio Bible. Just listen to it. You are being formed. What are you being formed by? Paul would say, don't be conformed be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to call Justin up at this time. He says this, then you'll know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for you. You might think about it this way. There's a world out there that's hurting and broken and lost, and thousands of people believing a narrative that is not true. And you are the one called into that environment. What are you being formed by? Are you being formed by the environment around you, or are you being formed by God and His Word? Because people need Jesus. People need light. You and I are called to be light and salt. Jesus didn't leave us just a whole list of rules to follow. That would fall far short of His goal for us. He's saying, each one of you, in whatever environment you're called into, you are called to be people that, as complex as life is, as broken as it is, you can know what God's will is in that situation, what is good and acceptable and right. What a calling that is for us. That we as people, we would know how, when faced with the cares of this world, the stresses, that we would know how to act like people who are like Jesus. We would know how to treat the outsider. We would know how to treat the immigrant. We would know how to talk about the government. Because people need the Lord. And you and I are called to be those people. So counter the transforming effect of the world on you. Because we are no longer caterpillars. We are becoming butterflies. And unless we counteract the world and its ways, we won't have anything to offer the people of this world. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to know and discern and test what is the will of God, the good, perfect, and acceptable will. So wholeheartedly give all of yourself as a sacrifice to God. Do not conform to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be a caterpillar. Be a butterfly.